Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from VegGrower Podcast and this is episode 186. And today's feature will be about badgers. And today is actually the 17th of September 2018. I stumbled a bit there because I haven't written that down. Anyway, yeah, as I said, today's feature will be about badgers, which has came from a question from a listener. And it's something I've experienced, so I'm pretty happy with that. But before all that, of course, we have the diary where I will chat you through what I have been doing in this last week. And then we have the Garden Days calendar and what that suggests to do for this next week. With all that in mind, let's get on with the diary. And it's been a very interesting week. Now, Tuesday, I headed down to the allotment after work to spend a bit of time just catching up on the weeding and watering. Now, I only spent about an hour down there, but in that short amount of time, I actually managed to do quite a bit of weeding, which is really, really pleasing. And it's at this time of year that I'm really starting to see some changes coming through as leaves start to die back, some plants reach the end of their lives, the beds are becoming more and more clear, which means they will need replanting. Now, after all this weeding, I managed to harvest quite a few things, including my niece's small pumpkin. And this pumpkin, she actually planted a seed a while ago, and she planted it into the bed that I gave to her, along with her sunflowers. In that time, I've actually been tending to the plant for her, just, you know, as you do. But she's ended up with a little pumpkin, which weighed in at 800 grams, if I remember right. And this pumpkin is tiny. It literally fits in the palm of my hand. I think it's actually quite a nice size. But, yeah, it's not going to win any prizes or be very good for carving. After that, I headed home. And actually, it was a really pleasant evening. So I started tidying up all my plant pots that I have accumulated over the years. And I have hundreds of these plant pots, and I just can't bear to throw them out. They're mostly plastic and ceramic, but the large majority are plastic. And I'm probably a bit of a hoarder, to be honest, but the area they were in was a bit messy and a bit unkempt and poorly organised. So I've just wanted to organise these up and get them sorted. And I do have a lot, I will admit, but they will be used up and they're still good. If they're broken, then fine, they can go. But all the time they're good, I'm not going to throw them away. Wednesday, I had the Bald Explorer live show from Regency Townhouse, and that was an absolute success. We broadcasted live making pumpkin pies. The setting was wonderful. It was pretty much a Blue Peter style. We had some that we had prepared earlier, and that was just due to time constraints, which I would have liked to actually cook it all live, but Paul the chef there, he used about a quarter of my pumpkin. I took home half and the wife used that over the weekend. And a quarter, actually, the Bald Explorer took home, but we used that Friday. But we'll come to that in a bit. Thursday, I was at home and I watered my herbs and seedlings. And this is something I seem to keep forgetting to do at the moment. I think it's weird this time of year, although it's cooled down, watering seems to get forgotten and I can't actually remember when it last rained. But all the time there's no rain, things aren't getting watered. The wind itself is drying this ground and the soil, so I've got to remember to do more watering. Now, I've also hacked back one of my tomato plants that has been suffering from blight. Now, once I got to the label, I realised this was a blight-resistant variety called Lorenzo. And I noticed this with my Lorenzo down the allotment as well. They seem to have caught blight. And they've caught it pretty badly, but it's more like a mark on the leaves as opposed to making them wrinkle up and basically go bad. They seem to carry on growing, much like my experience with the Crimson Crush, but they have caught blight. Now, Leeds Lorenzo, they've performed very well, I have to say. They're a nice small cherry tomato. They've produced lots of tomatoes and fairly early on. So overall, not bad, but blight resistant wise, the jury's still open on that. Now, Friday evening, the Bald Explorer invited me again onto his live show. Now, I wasn't in Veg Grower Podcast uniform because I wasn't going as such. Now, we had planned to do a pumpkin soup with a bit of pumpkin that we had left over, but we decided to do something a bit different, and I found a pumpkin crumble recipe, and it was actually really, really nice, and it's something I'm going to make again and get a recipe up because it was really, really, really nice. However, I wasn't in Veg Grower Podcast uniform, as I said, and that was because we were actually talking quite a bit about internet marketing and a kind of a brainstorming show. It's something that we often talk about in private, and it was seeing the viewers' reaction. Now, I did mention in this show that I was interested in doing some gardening demos at shows and festivals in the future, something I'm really looking into. I'd like to do talks, of course, and gardening demos. I've got no idea to how to go about it at the moment, apart from planning out how I would do it. I've just got to find out how to approach these places to get it done. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Now, Saturday, I was at home again, and I'm pretty much in maintenance mode at home, tidying up a lot of the pots again and moving full planted up pots around. Now, I am in the process of clearing my garden up ready for winter. And we still have the remains of our old fence to get rid of, and it's really, really annoying. We plan to burn a lot of this over the winter and heat our house. We've got four fireplaces in our house. We still have gas central heating, of course, but we like an open fire anyway. So we really want to burn a lot of this over the winter. So we've held on to it for that. But, well, at the bottom of my garden, I've got a little 6x4 shed, and that is also filled up with wood from the fence. So to literally say we have a lot of it is an understatement. And in fact, this little shed is going to be turned into my studio / office for podcasting and live shows that I may do in the future, which is another reason why I want to get that all clear. Now, this is getting away from the garden a bit here, but after all the tidying up, I pot away our garden chairs and covered over the table, and it seems a shame to pack it all away, but in no time it will be out, so look forward to that. With the table doubled up, it actually doubles up as somewhere I can place my saffron pots, as I found they grow better when they're a bit higher up. I finally got my words out there. Sunday, I went down the allotment in the morning, and my first job was, of course, get the barbecue on. And I've grilled up some more pumpkin. It seems to be going through a lot of pumpkin this week, with that huge pumpkin that I harvested. It's gone a long way, to say the least. But for this recipe, I actually just sliced up a bit of pumpkin, brushed it with some olive oil, and sprinkled over some paprika. And then I just grilled these over the barbecue. And actually, it was really nice. Our pumpkin chip with that barbecue smoky flavour. It was really, really nice. Anyway, while this was cooking, I planted out some of my seedlings. I'm really pleased to be getting these into the ground, especially now because a lot of my beds have emptied out. It's nice to fill them back up again, and I've certainly filled a few. And I was planting out some of my kale, the Nero di Toscano, spinach, turnips, and some Chinese cabbage. Now, these are simply just dug a hole, popped a plant in, filled it back up, and watered in. Nothing really difficult to do there. However, I did notice on the Chinese cabbage I had a few caterpillars, and I think these are from cabbage white butterflies. But I ripped off the leaves that had these caterpillars and threw them away, and hoping they will not be too much of a problem. I gave them all a good inspection that as well. If there are any more, I'm hoping the little birds such as the thrushes will eat the caterpillars up now they're down on the allotment. Now after that job, I spent a bit more time weeding, and weeding is kind of still taking up a huge amount of time. But with a decent push, I should get all the weed taken care of, and as we're heading to the winter, they shouldn't grow back. After that, I harvested a few items, including a marrow, and this marrow seems to have a lot of little holes in it, and I'm not quite sure why. I also harvested a small cauliflower, of which I think this is my first cauliflower of the year. I'm not sure, but I'm pleased with it anyway. We actually turned that into a cauliflower cheese for our tea, and it was really nice because it was small. It was perfect size. Now, talking of harvests, of course, the weekly harvest report was out last night, but this week's harvest has included pumpkins, potatoes, chard, herbs, tomatoes, pears, apples, cauliflower, and quail eggs. Overall, I think it was £29 roughly of value of the harvest, which I'm pretty pleased with. Certainly everything we've got there is enough to feed us for a week, which is what we're really after. Now that is the diary up to date. Let's take a look at what the Garden Days calendar suggests to do for this next week. And it reads, tidy beds and borders and divide old clumps of perennials. Replant the young outer shoots to make vigorous, lush growth in the spring. Fill gaps with leftover plants as the effect of repeat planting is very pleasing. Take cuttings of bay and lavender and place in pots of sand to root in the cold frame. Well, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'm actually looking at taking cuttings and things like that at the moment anyway, in order to add more plants to my stocks. The perennials, I think it's a little early to start dividing cutting those, in my opinion, depending on what they are, of course. In my case, globe artichokes possibly, but the rhubarb certainly not. They're certainly growing well. Now, badgers, the main feature for today. Now, this actually comes from an email from a listener by the name of Rob, and I'll read out his email. And it says, "Hi, Richard. I have had my first year on a piece of land that I have turned into an allotment, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I enjoy listening to your podcast, though I wish they were a bit longer with an update of your harvest, and one day I hope to have as much knowledge as you. Recently, my squash plants have been attacked by badgers. Other than peen, have you any other suggestions? Keep up the good work, Rob." Well, I did reply to your email. Hopefully you got it, Rob. And actually, badgers have been saying, I've been hearing a lot of complaints about lately, but it's also something I've had a bit of experience with, and I've also won against them. Now, the badger itself is a short-legged mammal, and they pretty much eat anything that we eat. They are from the same family of animals as otters and weasels, which I found a bit interesting, actually. I didn't realise that. Badgers, of course, have a distinctive black and white head and the grey back that we associate with a European badger, which is the kind of badger we're going to be talking about mostly today. Now, the European badger is a pretty large mammal, and technically it's classed as a carnivore because it will eat small animals, insects, and its preferred diet is earthworms. However, they are omnivores like ourselves and will eat animal and plant feed and even our own vegetables, given a chance. Pretty much anything that we would eat, they will eat. Badgers are also very sociable, which is why you can often see them in groups. And they are even known to share burrows with foxes and rabbits. However, badgers are also very aggressive if provoked. And if you've ever came across badgers on a dark night like I have, you can see how aggressive they are. Now, Rob says his badgers are eating his squashes. And when I had the problem with badgers, they would eat my sweet corn. And this was actually on my old allotment. And a lot of the other allotmenteers had actually given up trying to grow sweet corn because of this. And one allotmenteer that I knew, he referred to badgers as mini bears. Now, to get to the sweet corn, what we found the badgers were doing, they were gnawing at the base of the sweet corn plants to topple them over so they could actually reach the sweet corn, which, you know, that's pretty clever of them. A bit like a woodcutter chopping down a tree. You know, that sort of thing. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, because of this, I found a way to overcome the badgers. And I have to admit, I was the envy of the sight. But how I overcome it was actually, I managed to get hold of a couple of these large wooden boxes. And these boxes were about a metre long, half a metre wide, and a metre high. And I simply filled the bottom, 30 centimetres, I suppose, with compost. And then I planted a sweet corn into this. Now, this worked because it placed a barrier between the badger and the plant. Now, this may not be possible for you, of course, but it worked for me in that circumstance. But this is where I'd first look at, is to see if they are actually living on your land or just coming into your garden for, well, most likely feeding, if that's what they're doing. Now, if they are coming into your garden, can you stop them? And now this might be, there's a hole in the fence that could be plugged somehow. If the set is actually in your garden, then it's illegal to disturb the set, as far as I'm aware. Now, if this is not possible to stop them coming into your land, then it might be worth putting a fence up around your vegetables to protect them. Badgers, however, they can climb and they can burrow. But my box method worked because badgers could not climb a box as it was made of plywood. Had it been like chicken wire, the badgers, they can climb pretty well actually. And they would use it a bit like a kid climbing a climbing frame or a rope net. That kind of thing can work, can be how a badger could climb chicken wire or similar. Now, my box, if the badger really wanted to get through it, probably, if based on the fact that they can dig, they could probably dig their way through the wood and plywood. I mean, the plywood wasn't all that thick. You know, I'm talking a couple of mil, pretty flimsy stuff. I could kick from, not really fair, but I could kick through it fairly easily. I was a kickboxer, so kicking through things wasn't hard. But anyway, however, from the badger's point of view, this would have created a lot of work for them. So, in some ways, just putting up a chicken wire fence may just prove to be too much work for them, so they'll move off to find something a bit easier. Again, the chicken wire fence would have to be pretty strong because badgers could push it over to knock it over. But again, if this might work just as a deterrent. Now, I mentioned badgers are able to burrow, and this is a thing when many foolproof ways of stopping badgers involve digging fencing down at least 3 foot into the ground, which is pretty deep, and that's too much work for most of us, unless it is a real, real problem and you're prepared to do that much work. Now, there are no chemical methods available to deter badgers, but I have researched that human male urine may put badgers off, which is, I know, Rob, you did mention that. I've also read that lion manure may put badgers off, but I don't believe that lion manure is available in the UK anymore due to pathogens that might be found in it. But I did find some products on Amazon, and I've added links to this, which are pellets soaked in lion manure. And this is it's kind of sold as a deterrent for cats. Whether this would work on badgers, I do not know. I've got no experience on it. I'll add a link in case this of it is of interest to you, but I don't know. I can't recommend it, but it's just something to think about. Ultrasonic pest deterrents are, of course, available, and these are quite common, actually. When they detect movement, they set off this ultrasonic sound, and that should, in theory, scare off any animals. The sound itself is meant to be inaudible to humans, but my father-in-law had one of these, and I can honestly say I could hear it, and it was one of the most uncomfortable things I have ever experienced, and that's why I'm really not a fan of these. And really, that brings me back to my experience and what I feel is a foolproof way of trying to stop the badgers from reaching your vegetables. It seems to be the most simple method. Now, Rob, you mentioned they were attacking your squash, and I'm just wondering, they do like plant food, and many people are probably wondering what I mean by plant food. Well, blood, fish and bone is possibly attracting badgers and foxes into vegetable patches when it's in use. Now, it is actually quite a good component to use in the garden and as plant foods go. But it is possible they could be attracting badgers and foxes into your garden. And that might be something to think about as well. Now, if anyone else has any experience that they would like to share, please get in touch. You can either comment on the blog post or email me, richard@veggrowerpodcast. And if you have any questions, then please send them to me as well. I do enjoy getting these questions because it gives me some fantastic content, especially when I've experienced it. Talking of questions, Paul from An Hour in the Garden and I are still planning to do a Gardener's Question Time style podcast as a multi-podcast event. So please get some questions in for that. I've got a couple, which I'm really pleased to do. And I'm going to remind myself here to email Paul to start setting this up. I keep meaning to email him and I keep forgetting. Now, before some seeds will be on your way to you, please enjoy them. Of course, if anybody else wants to enter, just head on to the Facebook group and just make a comment or join in the conversation. Nothing complicated at all, and you'll be entered into the competition. But for now, I'm going to wrap up. So please take care, and I'll speak to you all again next time.